I know that we don't have a lot of time. I have 37 minutes to be exact, and so, which is really hard for me. Would you say 35? This is the Waco bunch down here that's keeping track for me, so I have got to hit this and hit it fast. But first of all, old Beck has to say to you, do you have, there's three things. I want to see paper. You got it? Hold it up. I'm a teacher. I have to see these things. Do you have pen? Good little chickens. Good little sheep. And the third thing is going to be your Bible. We are going to turn to our Bible in a certain point. Girls, the power is in the Word. The power is in the message, not the messenger. It's not important what Becky Blackman says. It's important what the Lord says. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Absolutely. I know we've already had a prayer, but let's stop and pray one more time. Okay, girls? Oh, Father, you're just so good to us, and we thank you for this time. We thank you for this day. We thank you that we are alive and well, and that your plan is working in our lives. Father, we're so glad to be your daughters. There's nothing else we want to be, Lord, but that. Thank you for this opportunity. Please help me not to say anything you don't want me to, Father, but help us all. Fill us up with your word. Please help Cindy as she speaks tomorrow. Father, help your daughters to be what we need to be. And please be with the men that they would be your sons and be good sons too, Lord. Help us all in this effort, especially this week and in every day of our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, the question that you're going to write down at the top of your paper is, of course, why do we have male leadership in the church? And it's a good question, isn't it, girls? I'm so glad you asked it. Let's go. Why do the men in the Church of Christ have the positions of leadership when it comes to preachers, elders, and deacons? Why are the women silent in the worship services as the men assume the roles of preaching, praying, leading the singing, and teaching? This is the year 2013. This is America. The women's movement is alive and well. What has happened to us? Why is it that the men are so visibly up in front and the women are not? And the answer is because. Because. Why? Write it down. It's because God says so. This is God's formula for worship in the New Testament church. This is God's formula for the way things are to be enacted in our everyday lives as Christian women. Well, question that people will ask, well, can women have roles of leadership? Yes, they can. Yes, they can. God's a fair God. We'll talk about that. Where do we go for our answers? Everybody knows that we go to the Word of God. Our guide is the Bible. And we live and worship the way we do because of biblical command, because of example and inference. In other words, we are Christians who do what we do and we live the way we live and we worship the way we worship because of three things. Number one, God commands it. Number two, there's an example in the New Testament for this. And number three, or the New Testament gives a reference to it. God has, write this down, girls, God has not left us in the dark about what He wants from His children. Do you agree?
Yes.
It is true. You know, I even asked in the van on the way coming up here, what are the things we remember as children, for those of us, and I know this doesn't include everybody, but for those of us who are raised in the church, what are the things you remember being said about the church as you grew up? How did we explain ourselves? And one of the things that came right back to my mind was, we speak where the Bible speaks, and we are silent where the Bible is silent. That's true. We had several girls volunteer. Here was one. We always say, it is written. And we should. Jesus said that when in the temptation with Satan, every time, it is written. Or we have a thus says. Or give me book, chapter, and verse. Girls, that's the right way to live the Christian life. Show me, teach me. How many times did David write in the Psalms, show me thy way, teach me, write it down, thy statutes. What's our attitude as a New Testament Christian woman? Show me thy way, Lord. Teach me your statutes. I want to know your word. An important scripture to keep in our minds as we study this today, write it down, is 2 Timothy 4:2. In 2 Timothy 4:2, Paul was inspired to tell Timothy, "Preach the word, be ready in season and what, girls? Finish it. Out of season." You know, girls, I want to say I've quoted this scripture not enough because I didn't quote the whole thing. It's be ready. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Then there's more. Reprove, rebuke, exhort, and how? With great patience and instruction. Isn't that good? Yes, we're to be ready to preach in season and out of season, but how should we do it? With great patience. And we have to have patience, not only with ourselves, as God has been patient with us, but we have to be patient with each other, don't we? I was so privileged to get to meet, and he came and stayed in our house, Brother Marshall Keeble. Do you know what Brother Marshall Keeble, who was the best preacher we ever had, black or white, he said about this passage, preach the word in season and out of season. He says, folks, you know what this means? This means you got to preach the word when they want to hear it and when they don't want to hear it. Okay, those of you that have children. Okay, mama, are you going to say it just or if your child wants to hear it or if he doesn't want to hear it? Are you still mama? You still got to say it, right? And you think of when you were a child and your mother, you didn't want to listen, but your brain recorded it, right? Let's go back to the beginning. Write down Genesis 1. In Genesis 1, we have that marvelous account, how fabulous, of the creation. With care, wisdom, and love, God formed and fashioned the first couple. Who was created first, man or woman? Man was. What's his name? Adam. And God took Adam and he put him in the most beautiful place, the Garden of Eden. And he gave him responsibilities, right? Gave him jobs to do. What was God's purpose in creating Eve? Write down Genesis 2:18 because there's your passage. The Bible tells us that God saw that Adam was alone and needed a helpmeet, a helper. Eve, write this one down. Eve was not plan B, girls. This wasn't an afterthought that God had. He knew this was going to happen. But he created, and write this down, God created woman for man, not man for woman. And we get it mixed up, don't we? I've gotten it mixed up. Can't we be honest today and say that? Sure we can. Remember that God created woman for man, not the other way around. We all know that Adam and Eve succumbed to the greatest temptation in the garden and ate the forbidden fruit, and now we're dealing with paradise lost. The Bible specifically states in Genesis 3:6, and here's a quote, and if you have quickly you want to go over and look at it, please do. There's something in this passage I didn't see for years. I have to tell you, I'm a slow learner. I'm still learning so much about the Bible. Are you?
Yes.
And isn't it marvelous? And it's so thrilling when you find something. Well, I didn't see this. It says in Genesis 3:6, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and she gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. I used to think, I think it was from the pictures, it was just Eve and Satan having this temptation. But it's not that way that she fell. Who sinned first, girls? The woman did. That she sinned, and then she takes the apple over. This is in my brain, I'm sorry. She takes it over to him, and wherever he is, and then he sins. That's not what it says in this verse. It says that she gave it unto her husband also with her. I didn't see that for a long time. He's there. And you study and take that apart. It's so interesting. Both received punishment from the Creator, didn't they? You know that's Genesis 3:16 to 19. They both received a punishment. Everything changed that day. Sin entered the world. Mankind became Satan's project. But don't forget, there was the promise of a Messiah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, that there's hope for you and me, right? Thank you. Thank you that this wasn't the end of it. So let's think about this. Let's look at man's leadership that's written all through the pages of the Bible. Let's establish it, Becky. We've got to set our foundation, so let's look at it. In the Old Testament, God introduced what we call the patriarchal age, right? What's that word that's in there, that Latin word? Patriarch. What is a patriarch? He's the head of the house. He's the father of the family, right? God spoke to whom? To the heads of the families, the patriarchs. Write this down. It was not called the matriarchal age. Aren't you glad?
Yes.
It was through the patriarchs. God talked to the men. In the Old Testament, now look at this one in Hebrews 1:1. In Hebrews 1:1, I'm just going to quote a part of that. It says that God, of course this is the writer, the Hebrew writer, talking to Jewish Christians. God having of old time spoken unto the fathers by divers portions and in divers manners, hath at the end of these days spoken unto us in His Son. He spoke how? To the fathers. Okay, let's consider these things. Let's write these down. Jacob's 12 sons were heads of how many tribes? 12. Not Jacob's daughters. Moses spoke to God face to face. You need to write down that passage. It's Exodus 33:11. He talked to God face to face, it says. And then he led the people out of Egypt. Not Miriam, his sister. Joshua and Caleb led the Israelites into the land of Canaan. Not the wives of Joshua and Caleb. In the New Testament, God's pattern for male leadership continued. Jesus came to this earth, and as we read in the New Testament, we know that He taught His marvelous gospel. How important it was. Now get a hold of this, girls. How important it was for Jesus to choose, hand-picked, how many? 12 men. Not women. To be the apostles. How important it was, girls, for these 12 apostles who were every day sitting at His feet, traveling by His side, learning how to lead after He left this earth and returned to heaven. In Acts 2:42, the Bible tells us something about the New Testament church, the very brand spanking new church. And you know what it said? It tells us that the early church devoted themselves. What is it when you devote yourself? You're committed completely. You spend all your time thinking about this. To the apostles' teaching. Isn't that interesting? Not to women's teaching, but to the apostles' teaching. And what did they teach, girls? What Jesus had taught them to teach. And being directed by whom? The Holy Spirit. Were women ever mentioned in Jesus' ministry?
Sure.
And I'm going to give you some passages. Mark 15:40 and 41. Mark 15, girls, if you don't get a passage, just raise up your hand. I'll say it again, all right? I know I talk fast. Mark 15:40 and 41 tells us that there were many women who followed our Lord and tended to His needs. Isn't that sweet? Many women, not just a few, many. What about after Jesus' resurrection? There were many women who were converted to Christianity. And I want you to write down this passage. It's Acts 17:12. It says that many of them were prominent. Now what's prominent? Well-known Greek women. In the Church of Christ today, we follow the pattern that the early church set forth. Here's where I want you to have your Bibles open. We're going to go to 1 Timothy, all right? Let's go. 1 Timothy 2:8 through 14. We're only going to take a portion of this because I know that Cindy's going to be talking about a portion of this tomorrow. In 1 Timothy 2, we see the Apostle Paul writing to Timothy and instructing this new preacher on how men, and girls, don't forget, men are involved here, how men and women were to act in spiritual matters, okay? Both men and women. So let's look at verse 8. I desire therefore that the men pray in every place, lifting up holy hands without wrath and disputing. In like manner that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly raiment, but which becometh women professing godliness through good works. Let a woman learn in quietness with all subjection. But I permit not a woman to teach nor to have dominion over a man, but to be in quietness. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not beguiled, but the woman being beguiled hath fallen into transgression. Let's look back at, first of all, verse 8. Paul said, I desire therefore that who? Underline this and put something, if you write in your Bible, and I hope you do. Do you see, I desire therefore that the men, it's men only, girls. This Greek word, A-N-E-R, is pronounced, I believe, anar. Is for men only. It's masculine. It is not the word that you use for mankind to include men and women. This is men only. Males. It says, I desire that the men pray where, girls? It says in every place. Lifting up what? Holy hands. The Jew in those days prayed. Sometimes, of course, you know they prayed with their hands looking up to heaven, but so many times it was when their hand was on their sacrifice. But they prayed this way, looking up to the heavens, without, and look how men are to pray. And of course, I think it leads us in a way. Without what? Wrath and disputing. No arguments. Girls, do you want your worship service to be filled with men who are guiding you, who are angry and arguing? Do you?
No.
No. I want peace. I want comfort. I don't want conflict. This is a very public venue, and it is the men who are to be praying in every place, not the women. Now let's look at 1 Timothy 2:11, okay? Let's take it apart. But let a woman learn how? In quietness, with all, and here's the word that so many people, men and women, have a problem with. Subjection. Submission. And I'm here to tell you that when we practice submission the way God says to practice it, it is the most wonderful thing He has done for us, right? I believe that. I believe that. I know that to be true, girls. I desire women, what? To learn what? Are we talking about academia here? She's got to go to her Latin lesson and learn the verbs. Amoa mas amat, amamas amatus amant. Let her learn the spiritual things. How? In quietness. Being in subjection. Being in submission to whom? To the man who is teaching these things. And girls, isn't that the way you want to learn? I want to learn in quietness. Listen, I have had classrooms that were as wild as could be. You can't teach and a child can't learn if everything is upset. Somebody's got to be in control, and there has to be quiet as the person is teaching. All right? Make sure we understand that there's subjection going on here too. There's no need for a woman to be constantly offering her opinion or objecting. Have you ever been in a class like that? Have you ever been in a class where a woman takes over and she wants to tell her opinion about something? Makes me so uncomfortable. Does it make you uncomfortable when a man takes over? Let the teacher teach. We're in subjection to the teacher. But here women are in particularly. Can a woman ask a question in a discussion in a class? Yes. But her manner, I believe, is to be non-threatening. So many times I think in the church in my past, we have forgotten the wonderful scripture in Ephesians that says we're to speak the truth how? In love. Well, we got to change that. We got to speak the truth in love everywhere we go. We can't be like that. And we must be non-threatening. This passage in 1 Timothy is absolutely crucial and essential for all women, especially Christians, to understand, but there will be many women who will not look at it. Let's also remember another passage. This one is vital to our worship service, girls. It's 1 Corinthians. It's 14:40. 1 Corinthians 14:40. Paul was inspired to write to the Corinthian church where everything was so upset. 1 Corinthians 14:40. Let all things be done, how? In decency and in order. That is learning. There is much to learn. I want to know how many in this room know all there is to know about being a Christian. How many in this room know what the Bible teaches about everything? No. And that New Testament church that was so full of Gentiles and Jews and different races, they all came together and they're all learning the new word. And don't you know they had questions? But they had to behave properly. Why? So that everybody could learn what was right. And it's true for us right now, isn't it? Mm-hmm. It's the same goal. We've got to learn these things. Look at 1 Timothy 2:12. I permit not a woman to teach. Now, if it ended right there, you and I would be sunk. You know? But God doesn't say, I don't permit a woman to teach, period. That's not what the Bible says. Now, look at it in 1 Timothy 2:12. I permit not a woman to teach nor to have dominion over a man. Oh, you don't teach over a man and you don't have what? Dominion over a man. But to be where? In quietness. It's still good Thank you, Lord. What does the phrase over a man mean? Women are not to usurp the man's authority as he teaches and as he preaches. What's the reason? God doesn't have to give us a reason, but if you know of 1 Timothy 2:14, He gives us a reason. Because of this, it was the woman Eve who was deceived, not the man. Girls, I don't have to tell you, you know that we can be pretty gullible and fall for some things, right? Women can be very naive. We can be deceived, and Eve was deceived. Adam walked right into it. He knew. I think that's why his punishment was greater. But God is so good to us, and He says, remember, it was Adam, it was not Adam who was deceived, but the woman. She fell into transgression. So let's look at 1 Timothy 3. There's another passage we have to look at. What do we do about the public roles as deacon and elders are brought forth? Paul outlines the requirements in 1 Timothy 3 by saying that one of the requirements is that the elder or the deacon must be the husband of one wife. Now tell me, what woman can be a husband? That's impossible. A woman is a wife, right? So it's not possible for us to be elders and deacons. Do we just not work because of that? No. I heard Willie Franklin say once, he's the NFL football pro who became a Christian and was converted. And he once said this, and I've never forgotten, said it to Fried Hardeman. He said, I don't know why women want a bigger role in the kingdom when they've got the biggest one there already is. There's so much we need to do. And God has specified where He wants us. I want to give you this. I read this the other day and it's helped me so much. Put it in my Bible. So many times we think we have to do something huge and wonderful and magnificent for God when all He wants us to do, hold on to this, is the work where we are. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? That's all He wants from us, is to do the work where we are. Well, Hebrews 13:7, write that one down, where the Hebrew writer says, remember them that had the rule over you. Remember who? Remember them. And then specifically says, the men that spake unto you the word of God. Isn't that good? It's the men who were the teachers there. That's Hebrews 13:7. So let's look at some principles. Women have just as an important role in the kingdom as the men do. Do you agree? Yes. Can a woman teach a man the gospel? Yes. As disciples of Jesus, we all, men and women alike, have been given the Great Commission, which was what? Go and teach. Wasn't that what we have to do? What scripture? That's Matthew 28:19. You know that. And 20, go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations. I can't tell you how many times that I've been on an airplane sitting with a man or a woman who asks me about my notes or if I'm reading the Bible or where are you going, Becky? And we start a conversation. And we talk about the Lord. I don't know how long I'll have. Our paths may never cross again on that plane. But we've got to do what we can do with the time we've got. What if they have questions I can't answer? I get their email. I give them a card. I find out about them. If I have to, I go to the different people, call up a church and say, this person is looking. There are people that God is putting in our path for us to teach. God does not forbid a woman teaching a man or another woman. What happened in Acts 18? Apollos, that learned, eloquent man, was teaching in the synagogue of Ephesus, what? John's baptism. Here come a Priscilla and Aquila into the synagogue. They hear this guy preaching, and boy, he's good, but he's not right. Do they stand up and scream, you're wrong? Do they make a big ruckus? They take him aside and they teach him the way, the Bible says, more perfectly. And a woman's involved in that. God doesn't forbid a woman teaching a man. However, when it comes to mixed classes or the worship services, no woman is to assume the role or position that has given to a man, that of leadership. Women can travel to mission fields all over this world and help teach others the gospel of Jesus Christ. Women can do what we're doing right now. Have a seminar, have a ladies' day, have a class, have a retreat. where women speak to women. I do not believe that God gives women the right to stand or sit or whatever before a mixed group and teach the Scriptures. This would be usurping the authority of a man. The Joyce Myerses of this world are not acting in accordance with the Bible that they proclaim so loudly to love when they speak in front of such groups. Let's remember one important factor. Man is never given the authority to be a male chauvinist. God's not one. I don't think He wants His sons to be that either. Surely we can see that from the Old Testament to the New Testament. God has always protected women, provided for women, and loved women. You read the stories of Rahab, Ruth, Naomi, Esther, and the Samaritan woman at the well. Write this down. Jehovah God has never intended for a woman to be a second-class citizen. Agree?
Yes.
Absolutely. He's lifted us up, girls. He's lifted us up. A Christian man is to lead, but to never put down a woman. I want to give you an interesting scripture. It's 1 Peter 3:7. In 1 Peter 3:7, the Bible says, or Peter was inspired to say, "You husbands." Now, who is this directed to? Husbands. "Ye husbands, in like manner dwell with your wives, according to knowledge." Knowledge of what? Of God's law. "Giving honor unto the woman as unto the weaker vessel." What does that mean? Weaker? I cannot pick up an end of a couch. My husband can.
I can.
But weaker mentally? No. But weaker physically. What else? "As being also joint heirs of the grace." I'm joint heir. I'm right along with Jeff as being saved. We are neck and neck, even. Even Stephen, as we'd say. "Joint heirs of the grace of life to the end that your prayers be not hindered." What does that verse say? Husbands, live with your wives the way you should and honor them and take care of them. And remember, she's a joint heir of salvation just like you, because if you don't, your prayers will be hindered. Do you know what my mother used to say about this passage? She says, God says, husbands, if you don't do what's right and treat your wife right, when you pray to God, you're going to get a busy signal. Your prayers are going to be hindered. What do you think that means, girls? There's a crucial passage, another one we need to look at, and that's 1 Corinthians 11:3. Listen, girls, the book of 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians. To a church that had so many things wrong, we have that marvelous chapter on love. But in 1 Corinthians 11:3, Paul wrote, "I would have you know," okay, well, he's looking at us right now, "I'll have you know, girls, that the head of every man is Christ. The head of the woman is the man. And the head of Christ is God." Girls, there's a hierarchy. This is the ladder, isn't it? The woman is in subjection to the man. The man is in subjection to whom? Christ. And Christ is in subjection to whom? God the Father, Jehovah God. So let's just kind of wind it all up. Our 37 minutes are getting faster and faster that they're gone. Number one, there will always be women who will want to assume leadership roles not given to them by God. I've met them. You probably have too. And there will always be men, hold on to this, who will be willing to let them assume those roles. Neither group is pleasing to God. Neither group is pleasing to God. God has prescribed what He wants in our worship and in our daily lives. Listen, girls, I take these things very seriously. Do you? I know you do. Nadab and Abihu were violently taken off of the face of this earth because they didn't obey God's rules when it came to God's worship. God knows what He wants, and He's told us so in His book. What's our obligation? Get in the Word. Get in the Word. Please remember this. God made men and women with so many talents and abilities. God knows what you can do because He gave you those talents. God has a plan for His church, and His plan is for the men to lead. It's not a matter, I once read, a Christian brother. It's not a matter of who can lead the best prayer and who can teach the best lesson. This is a matter of gender. And God has set forth that the men are to be in positions of leadership. To tell you the absolute truth, I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that God has protected us in this, aren't you?
Yes.
Girls, we've got enough to do with the serving that we can do, raising the youngins, teaching the youngins, helping each other make it on this journey, encouraging the brethren, taking notes, growing. And we want the eldering and the deaconing and the preaching too. Girls, I say this with all the love of my heart. If we were allowed to be in on that and we took over and decided we were going to be the preachers, the elders, and the deacons, it would be one big catfight. Yeah, you know. It is so much better being in subjection to an older man who's trying to be a good shepherd than it is to be in subjection to an older woman I don't even like and hard to love. Isn't it? This is God's way, and write this down. God's way is the best way. It always is. Father knows best. Let's let the men lead and let's support them as they teach us. Let's teach and lead in the arenas that we can. And we all must use the talents that the Father has given us. Write this down. No one is exempt. You don't get a pass on this. The real question is, how much do you love God? How much does Becky love God? How much do we love God? And how much do we respect Him? And how much do we love His Word? And are we going to obey? Do we love Him enough to get ourselves out of the way and just do what the Lord says? At the end of the day, why would anyone take such a chance on their salvation? Not me. Not me. I want to do things God's way. Girls, you can write this one down. Heaven is too precious. Hell is too real. And eternity is forever. We need to talk about that. To our kids, to ourselves, reconvict ourselves and our grandchildren. You've been such great listeners today. I thank you. Our time together was kind of short, but I hope that you will. I didn't cover everything that said. That's your assignment. You go and learn. You know, I once heard on the news the other day, or read it, that God has given us, everybody, a mind to learn. What are you putting in your mind, my sister? Are you so tied up with the latest novel? Are you so tied up with the latest technology that you do not have time for the Lord? The psalmist said, "Be still and know that I'm God." Exodus 14:14 says, "The Lord will fight for you." I love this. This is my new passage. "The Lord will fight for you. You have only to be still." It's hard for us to be still. But nothing's impossible with God. You've been so sweet and so wonderful. I thank you for being good little chickens and good little sheep. I say this wherever I go, and I mean it from the bottom of my heart. If our paths never cross again, I'll see you in heaven. And that's a promise. God bless, girls. Thank you.